For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are reacting to the 2022 NBA Draft, talking winners and losers. Let's go!
Six. Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! He's responsible!
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Joined, as always, by Callum Mack, draft enthusiast this time of year. How are you, man?
Yep. Just got back from yours. As you're aware, Mitch, we watched the draft together, which was always fun, enjoyable. It's a good way to waste a few hours and see some funny trades that happened.
Obviously
some of the prospects we're keen on, and just to see where they go, make sure the fits are okay.
Yeah, so obviously 2022 draft, a bit of a different draft year at the top. We had a bit of an unclear first pick in the draft this year. I think we all sort of expected it to be Jabari Smith Jr. heading into it, and then very late last night over here, early in the morning in the States, the Vegas odds shifted. And it started to swing over. Paolo Banchero started to become the odds-on favorite to be picked there. So someone obviously tipped someone off there and let something leak, because he was the pick one in the draft. Just your reaction to the first few picks in the draft before we get stuck into the winners and losers.
Look, overall, I'm pretty happy with how it all fell in terms of the top three. Most people had, obviously, these power forwards all in a maybe different order. But I was considering Paolo as the number one pick if I was Orlando. Over the past few days, I've kind of even warmed up to the idea of him going number one, just because I've said that, you know, they need some scoring. And he can work with Franz. Franz can guard a lot of players. It can be pretty good. They have a pretty stacked front line as it is. But I wouldn't be surprised if we do see a Carter kind of trade, Wendell Carter, that is, or maybe even a Mo Bamba. One of those guys might be out of there.
I think
in the future, get some more assets. But overall, I do like the fit. To me, it really was between Paolo and Jabari. I still would have gone with Jabari. I just think what he brings in terms of his hustle and mentality and shooting is awesome. But I'm Orlando, I'm not going to hate it. It was between those two guys for me, so I'm pretty happy with that.
I thought that the top three worked out really, really well for all teams involved. I actually think that, like, every team kind of got their number one preference. I think OKC really would have wanted Chet. I believe they would have drafted him if they were pick number one. And I think that Houston might have even gone with Jabari Smith Jr. at number one if they were pick number one. So, and obviously Orlando got their guy. They didn't have to do anything to move anything. So I think all three teams would be very happy with their selection. I'm obviously a Chet man myself, but I think that on Orlando, Paolo definitely makes a lot of sense being the sort of the being the focal point. They needed that guy that could potentially be that superstar, and I think that he has the opportunity to do that in Orlando when you've got a few other good defensive players around him, you know, with potentially, I don't know if we'll ever see him again, but Jonathan Isaac coming back, and Wendell Carter's obviously a good defender. He got some good playmakers on the team already, so yeah, I think it's a good selection. Interested to see how it goes. I don't necessarily see any of these guys busting. You know, maybe some people would say Chet. You might say Chet as well with the body and everything like that. But I think they're all going to be solid picks and good. At least, you know, borderline all-stars or solid starting level players, whether or not any of them reach the superstar status that you'd hope for a number one pick, we'll see. But I do think that all three of those top teams got their guy. And I am excited to see how it ends up. Looking in the future, let's go over to our winners and losers now. So, what do you want to do? You want to start with a bit of a high or a sour note? What do you think?
Look, let's start negative. Why not?
Yeah,
there's only probably a few losers. Let's rip into some people.
I don't think that there was too many shocking moments. I think last year, I think there was a few more questionable decisions, but this year, I mean, the draft was a bit more of a flat draft. So, we'll say losers, but I don't necessarily think that these are horrible decisions. Just some decisions that I thought were questionable and I think could have been better. And what better way to start than our good old favorite punching bag? I'm sorry if you're a fan of this franchise. I really actually want this team to succeed and I really, really am rooting for this team. But I've got to start off. The first loser of the day for me is Sacramento. Keegan Murray. Look, I like Keegan Murray. He was a top 10 prospect for me. I think I had him 8 on my board. I think he's fine. He's a starting level player in the NBA. I think that if you're Sacramento, you could either 1, trade back, 2, trade out, or 3, just take what I consider to be a clear top 4 draft in Jaden Ivey at 4. But they did none of those things. They drafted Keegan Murray, which I think is actually a decent fit. I don't mind him next to Sabonis, and he's someone who, you know, can play a 3 or 4 and play in a fast-paced offense like Sacramento seem to want to do. But in terms of, like, asset management, I just feel like they could have done a lot better, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on the Keegan Murray selection at 4?
Yeah, I think they really did prioritize giving the keys to De'Aaron Fox in this trade, because I definitely had Ivy, you know, above the guys that were on the board at that point. I was really high on Ivy. That athleticism is so hard to find. It's just that ability to be able to blow by. NBA talent, like he did in college, is definitely a pretty hard thing. And it's obviously going to do well in the NBA. And surely, obviously, the fit wasn't amazing if you haven't with De'Aaron Fox. But I still would have just picked him up. And even if you have to try and move on, but you could at least trial it to begin with. And I think that, you know, the upside's still definitely there to make a move in the future. They took him.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going on in these conversations and things like that and what's happening when they pick up the phone and they call these teams. But, like, surely you, I mean, maybe they did try it and it didn't work out. But surely you'd try and trade back to even just pick 5. Like, go to, you know, get pick 5, you know, maybe and get someone off or a future first or a future second or something like that off Detroit and let them move up to 4 and then take Jaden Ivey and then you can take Keegan Murray. I just feel like they could have got more out of the selection personally. He's 22 years old. So to me, they're obviously trying to make the playoffs. We know that they have a direction from the ownership to make the playoffs at all costs. I really hope they do. I honestly want them to just to get that monkey off their shoulder, like just get that out of the way, because I feel like they're going to be a really short-term focused franchise until that happens. So my hope is that they get to the play-in tournament, they, you know, scrape in there in the next year or two and they can finally move on and actually start to build a championship contending team, because I just don't see this in this team.
Yeah, me neither. And it's going to be tough to fight your way into the playoffs in the West.
Hard.
Yeah. You know, there's some teams are coming back a bit healthier. Denver obviously be stronger. The Clippers will obviously be stronger. Portland. They'll be a playoff team. Portland as well. Yeah, they're coming back. And they'll have Dame Lillard back after missing
a
tanking season. New Orleans are definitely on the way up. Yeah. Healthy Zion. It's going to be really tough for them. I like the combination of De'Aaron with Sabonis. But I just don't think in that deep West now, that healthy West, it's going to be hard to push them over the top. And to get a Keegan Murray, who, look, I do think is a good player. I do like Keegan.
Yeah, we like
his,
we like
his stats were awesome.
And he's going to be a good dynasty player.
He will be a good dynasty player. His stats were pretty damn awesome. The one shot really is kind of like the age, but he was a late bloomer. Before this season, he didn't really get a whole lot of minutes. And one of the stats they showed during the draft was he had a 16.5 point per game increase from the season before. So, I mean, obviously opportunity comes and he very much took advantage of it. He can hit a three. He can get blocks, 2.1 blocks, 1.3 steals.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to be a solid guy and he will fit besides a bonus. And that, I think Sacramento kind of prioritized fit as opposed to getting the best player out there.
I definitely think so, which, you know, you can question that, but, you know, it might work out for them. I don't think that there wasn't a slam dunk pick at that point, especially because Jaden Ivey we all had as number four, clearly on our board, and the fit next to Fox was questionable. And they just went through a bit of a bad breakup with Halliburton and Fox, and they probably didn't want to go through that again. So I understand not wanting to select Ivy there, but I just think you could have traded out of the position or traded down and got more assets back in return. And I'm sure there was something they could have done. I think, you know, even if you don't get Keegan Murray, you could have gotten a Benedict Mathurin, or you could have got someone who would have assisted this team win now and then still get more assets moving forward, which I would have personally preferred. I'll throw it over to another loser. I'm going to give a shout-out to Memphis Grizzlies here for a couple of questionable decisions late in the draft. The trade of De'Anthony Melton. Now, you guys all know that I'm a big De'Anthony Melton fan, probably maybe too much so, but I think that you traded up to get to pick 22? Pick 23, sorry. And you draft David Roddy, who, look, we're all just throwing stuff against the wall, but this guy was not, you know, mocked to go anywhere close to the first round. He's got some issues with his weight and his size and how that's going to translate to the NBA. I don't think anyone was really scrambling to draft him at pick 23, so I don't feel like you needed to trade up to do that and to get rid of De'Anthony Melton and also take on Danny Green's contract. I just don't know what the plan is there. And also, I don't mind the Jake LaRavia selection at 19, but just that trade of De'Anthony Melton, I think, was a bit of a miss by them. What are your thoughts on Memphis's draft?
Yeah, I didn't love that draft. I'm not super high on Jake LaRavia either. And they, you know, took him at the 19th spot, which could have been a bit of a reach, in my opinion. And then on top of that, you touched on it, the Roddy. He can do a bit of everything, but the question mark here is that size. He does love to live in the post, I think, a bit as well, even though he can hit the three.
So I think it's going to work type, in the NBA. Yeah,
that body type can be a bit questionable. And exactly, that those post moves in this day and age aren't used a whole lot in teams. It can be a bit of a quote-unquote ball stopper when you have players like that. And I'm just not too sure how that will relate in this day and age, unfortunately. So the three-point shooting, I think, is there. He can actually handle the ball. There are some positives, but most people had him kind of mocked in maybe the 30s, the 40s. And so to make the trade, the draft him at 23, in addition to the LaRavia pick, I would classify them as losers. I think there was better players on the board at both picks.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, with those selections. The last loser we're going to throw out, and probably going to make a few people mad here, but they might already be mad about their draft night. The New York Knicks is our final loser for the draft here. Just the fact that you had someone like Jalen Duren fall in your lap, who, for me, he was a top seven player on the board. You're picking him at 11. I think that he's got a high upside. He's definitely a starting center in the NBA, in my opinion. You know, you've got some players that are coming off your books in Mitch Robinson and Nerlens Noel is probably not the future there. I think that, and then you trade it. Obviously, you get three first-round picks, which is great. It sounds great on the surface, but the protections on these picks sound pretty heavy. A lot of lottery protected, you know, protected first round picks, so they're probably not going to be as good as the pick that you had right now. Maybe it's trade bait and things like that. I've heard them talk about, you know, trying to get Jalen Brunson in, who I just don't think is going to change life in New York. I think he's a fine player, but I don't think he's going to be a needle mover, really. So I just think that you probably should have taken the swing on a high upside center at that point, who I think was my highest guy on the board. And you also had other options as well. You didn't have to go that way, but I think you had some good players still left, and I would have just taken the pick there.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty good pick. There were some good guys on the board that I would have done the same. We're not too sure what those assets will eventuate into, but I think they're heavily protected. Yeah. I guess it is more of a long game for some trades in the future. Maybe that's what they're thinking about, and they think that this pick wasn't necessary, and they're more looking maybe 2-3 years from now to make some different trades. Understandable, but there were some good players there. And I guess one of the telling signs is Mitchell Robinson will most likely get re-signed to a contract after this kind of trading away this big
potentially
guy. Is one takeaway. But, you know, yeah, players like AJ Griffin still on the board, Tari Eason, not just Duren. I would have had Duren at that point, and I think it was a good fit. I think Tibbs would have really liked him as well. He's so young. He's only not even 18 yet. So there are some great positives. And, yeah, the return, yeah, while we don't know exactly what it is, I think it will end up being probably a net negative.
Yeah, yeah. Like we said, not huge losses. I think in this year, there wasn't anything that was super crazy on the negative side of things that stood out to me. But just a couple of questionable decisions that I might have gone somewhere different. Let's go over to a more positive side of things and talk about the winners of the draft. I think hands down, the biggest winner of this draft is the Detroit Pistons. They smashed it out of the park for me. They got Jaden Ivey at pick 5. Amazing fit. Love him next to Cade Cunningham. You've got your explosive guard next to your sort of more cerebral, bigger playmaker. So you've got a good combination there. And then the fact that you pick up your future center to pair with those two dynamic backcourt players in Jalen Duren. I think that is a really, really good young core to build off for the coming years. And I know there was a lot of talk about them signing DeAndre Ayton. I don't know if that's the case now that you've got Jalen Duren there. Maybe you use your cap space to maybe land a wing player, which we know are highly coveted, obviously. But I think that they were head and shoulders above everyone else in terms of winners for the draft. What are your thoughts on Detroit?
Detroit are high on my list in terms of league pass next season.
Yes,
I think
100%.
They're going to be super exciting to watch. They're going to get these guys a lot of minutes. Jaden Ivey, incredible athlete. He is going to be a great fit with Cade. I think they will complement each other. They can both kind of work a bit off ball. And, you know, Cade with the shooting, Jaden with that kind of prowess in the open court will be really good. I can really see some great combinations. And then you throw Duren, who I think really complements Ivey as well in that fast-paced. And Cade, in terms of like rim running as well, he always finds the man. I can see Duren really throwing down some big alley-oops from that play. So, look, I love what they did. I think they're the biggest winners as well.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of like a little baby Phoenix Suns team out east. You know, you've got your DeAndre Ayton type in Duren. You've got your point guard, a bigger point guard in Cade Cunningham, who's like your Chris Paul. And then Jaden Ivey can just be your bucket getter, who like your Devin Booker, someone overseas, a bit more athletic and maybe not as quite a good a shooter, but, you know, can score in his own way. And I think that as long as you get those connector pieces now, that's the makings of a good team. And I do really like what they're doing over there in Detroit. Even though they got a bit of bad luck on lottery night, I think that they definitely made up for it with the pieces that they got in this draft. So moving on to my next winner here, I've got the Houston Rockets. Now having Jabari Smith Jr. fall to them at 3, I think is absolutely perfect for them. I would have gone, obviously, if the draft had shaped out the way we thought it was going to be, I would have absolutely gone Paolo at 3, but I think this is a much better fit for them. They probably love his defense a lot more, his ability to shoot it, space the floor for someone like a Şengün, someone like a Jalen Green who can get to the rim. And then picking up Tari Eason, who was... he's definitely a my guy for me this year. Tari Eason at pick 17, who can then complement those guys who maybe don't have the defense. He can be someone who can maybe be like a secondary or a weak side defender is what I'm trying to say. A weak side defender to help out Şengün, create some fast break opportunities. Someone who's super long and athletic when they maybe lack a little bit of that next to Jalen Green. I think that this is a really good spot for them there. So I think that they're a big winner for me with their selections.
Yeah, me too. They really did kill it this draft. Jabari Smith, Ty Washington, and Tari Eason. Really good fits. Obviously, they got a young core. They have Jalen Green, who looks like a good scorer. Jabari Smith, I think he will be one of those guys who gets in. He's a hustler in defense. He'll make people work on that end. And offensively, he's an absolute sniper from long range. And that kind of stuff, you know, creates so much more space for your other players to work with. So it's one of those things that may, you know, kind of lift your team. And that's why I kind of had him as my number one pick. I think he really can draw a lot of the defense away from him. So they should be ecstatic they got him at the third pick, considering I had him at number one on my board. And Tari Eason being that help defender, just defender in general, I think in terms of a lockdown defender, Tari Eason is just that big body, can move and is a great kind of prowess for, like, you know, Kawhi Leonard body type kind of thing. Obviously, sure. I'm not going to say he will be on that level, but you know, you can see body the science, which is great. His steal rate, his block rate was awesome. And to pair that with like a Şengün, for example, who could be blown by on the perimeter. He obviously does hustle, but he's not known to be a great defender. Yeah. I think they could complement each other quite nicely. And likewise for Jabari on that help defense as well in Şengün. So I think they're kind of pairing that around a piece with Şengün being some of their future in addition to Jalen Green. So those four pieces are great. And to have a Ty Washington as a bit of insurance for your point guard position, maybe he could end up being the starting point guard in the future as well.
You're obviously still, you've got the Kevin Porter Jr. experiment with the jury's still out there, you know, whether or not he can be a legit point guard to sort of run your offense, but to have that sort of backup plan, someone who's solid, who can come in and give you a good contribution straight away. And then, and also in the future, I think helps take a bit of pressure off that move having to work for you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Ty, look, he was even, some people had him in the teens. In terms of mock drafts,
it was early 20s for me. Yeah,
I think most people settled on him being in early 20s towards the end. But yeah, to get him at 29 is pretty great, I think, as well.
I think it's a good value. Let's move on to our final winner here. I've got the San Antonio Spurs as our third winner here. And I think that obviously they came in with three picks. I didn't necessarily think they were going to keep all three. It looks at this stage they have. But I like the selections. I think they've gotten value at every single pick. The ninth pick with Jeremy Sochan, I like for them specifically. I think they are one of the better teams in developing talent. We know that Sochan has the pedigree. He has the defensive, obviously, versatility there. But I'm confident in a team like the Spurs developing his offense, developing his shooting especially. So it's a good landing spot for a prospect like that. And then the two guys they took later in Malachi Brennan, I had much higher than 20. He was sort of closer to the top 12 for me, really. And then also Blake Wesley, who, you know, two guards who can go get a bucket, who are decent shooters, especially in Brennan, help space the floor where they maybe lack a little bit of that shooting with players. Obviously, like the guy they selected, Sochan and Poeltl there. And of course, you've got their star player in DeJounte, who maybe isn't the worst shooter, but probably not one of his strengths. So the more space you can provide him, the better. So I think with all three of those selections, they made some really good picks and good value on my draft board, especially. What are your thoughts with their picks there, Cal?
Yeah, I think it all fits the mold nicely for them. All of the picks kind of complement each other.
They're all young, nicely. Too. Yeah, they're all like they're all 19 really years old, so they've got a long timeline, lots of time to make this fit as well.
Yeah, and so, look, Sochan, there are some negatives there. The scoring is a bit of a negative, but I think just what he brings defensively, he should always be pretty much a net positive from what I've seen. So he's just a hustler, can do it all on that end. Guard. They say 1-5. We'll see if that is true in the NBA. But in terms of like guiding forwards and stuff, which is what every team needs, he'll be quite useful. And then to pair that with some guys who are just scorers, good shooters, Brennan and Wesley. I think they really did lack forwards, and they've really kind of stocked up getting Sochan being a bit bigger, and then the other guys being some scoring kind of mobile guards. Brennan's a bit bigger. He's about 6'6" and 10 guards and wings as well. Yep. So they got a bit of size, and in terms of their team needs to fit around DeJounte Murray, I guess Jakob Poeltl is the only other guy I could throw in there as a bit more of the future. I think it's a great fit overall. Sochan, I'm not completely in love with. Just as I said, I have a little bit of concerns, the scoring, but overall with Brenham at 20, I think that was a bargain. And I do like Blake Wesley to get him at 25, I think is where he was kind of going in mocks and his scoring prowess. I think there is a fair bit of upside there.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with you with Sohan. He wasn't the highest guy I had on my board when they made the selection. I had Duran and I actually had Tari Eason slightly ahead of him. But in saying that, I do think they're all fairly close, and I think that the Spurs, I trust them to develop a player like him, and if they saw something that they really like, I'm not going to say that I don't see it as well. So I do like the selection there. But let us know what you guys think. What was your favorite pick in the draft? Are you a big believer in Keegan Murray and the Sacramento Kings making the playoffs this year? Let us know in the comments section below, and we will catch you guys next time where we are talking about our dynasty ranking. So stay tuned for that. Video is probably coming out fairly soon, talking a bit of fantasy. Hit the likes, subscribe, catch us later. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.